Now, if you have never heard me preach before, oh, I'm sorry, Kathy, never mind. If you've never heard me preach before, there are a few things you should know. First of all, in this church, we don't believe that God can possibly fit into one gender binary. So you may have noticed that we use both masculine and feminine pronouns to refer to the holy. The second thing to remember today is that we will be doing a talk back again. So if you keep your ears out in the sermon for anything that you want to bring up, anything that you want to discuss. And finally, the third thing that you should know about me and about this congregation in general is that laughter binds us together. This is actually scientifically proven that laughing with one another binds you together. And so we're going to start with something funny today. I heard about this Protestant gentleman who was the only Protestant in a neighborhood full of Catholics. And every year on Lent, he would grill steak. And his neighbors couldn't stand the smell. On Fridays, they had to eat fish, and they really, really, really wanted some steak, and he was out there just, whatever. So the Catholics all went to the local priest, and they said, listen, you have to convert this guy. We can't stand to smell steak during Lent on Fridays. And so finally, he was convinced, and the priest came, and he sprinkled the Protestant gentleman with water, and he said, you were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, but now you are a Catholic. And the next year on Lent, everybody left their house, and again, the smell of steak. He was outside grilling steak again. And they went over, and they said, what are you doing? And he was standing over the beef with water, and he said, you were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you are fish. Would that it were that easy, right? You were born a cheeseburger, you were raised a cheeseburger, you are now a salad. Now, I've gotten up here a few times and talked about how creation is sacred. And we take this from the Genesis, right? I talked about how environmentalism and faith are intimately connected. I've even guilt-tripped you a few times, because it's my job as your pastor, with facts like these. According to Forbes, animal agriculture accounts for 51% of greenhouse gases. Animal agriculture, 51%. So even if we, quote, clean up all the transportation, energy, industry, and commerce in the world, we've only done half the job. So to put it another way, if you're mad about Trump pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accord, you can mitigate the damage by going vegan. Or maybe just skipping meat once a week. I don't think the fish blessing thing will work. But you've already heard this message from me a couple of times, right? And as I read this week's scripture, especially the Old Testament selection, I was struck by something else. I was struck by what a process the process of creation was. I was also reminded of us, individually and as a congregation. Let me explain. Now, as you know, my husband and I are between housing arrangements, and if all goes well, we'll be closing on our first house together this coming week. But, thank you. Praise the Lord. But for the last week and a half, and for all of next week, we're stuck at a hotel with our animals. I won't tell you how many, because we're not supposed to have that many at the hotel. It's not ideal, but it's not awful. Now, I brought the plants with us, because I was sure they would probably die in storage. And my personal favorites are this pot of herbs that I grew. It's about this big. And then I repotted them from the hydroponic grower that Mom sent me for Christmas. Now, the door to our room opens directly outside. It's one of those hotels. And I put these herbs on the ground outside our door so they could get lots of light and lots of air. And we're on the second floor, and I figured they'd be safe. Nobody would kick them over or anything like that. But the first morning, I noticed that my basil, the first basil I had grown from scratch, I was very proud of my basil, had been completely eaten. It was gone. It was just little stems. I was so mad. And the Thai basil that smells a little minty, though, that was untouched, and that was most of what it was. All right, I thought, I guess snails like basil. It had to be snails, right? But maybe they don't like Thai basil because it's too minty. It's fine. I'll be fine. But the next morning, the Thai basil had little munch marks on it. It was livid. See, we stayed at this hotel for the first month after we moved to California, which is why we've gone back there. And when I moved out here, I had never seen so many huge snails. I love snails. I took one of the glass bowls from the room, I'm sure the housekeeping staff was thrilled about this, and put some rocks and lettuce in a bowl by the door, and I would spend time every evening marveling at these huge creatures. What I'm saying is, I had been really good to the snail community in the area, and they repaid me by eating my herbs. So I brought the herbs indoors, reluctantly, because I wanted them to be happy outside, and set them on the table. But after a few days, I noticed, to my horror, that the damage was continuing. They were still disappearing, even though the snails didn't have access to it. What was going on? Around the same time, I began noticing these little black pellets around the pot. Yeah, they rang some faint bell from childhood in my head, but I couldn't place them. It's the cats, my husband insisted. They're digging in there. But the dirt doesn't follow a digging pattern, I replied. The dirt isn't scattered. It's like evenly distributed around the pot. He smirked infuriatingly at me and said, "It's the cats." So finally, 3 days ago, when most of the leaves were gone, and I had resigned myself to apparently being the worst gardener in the world, I looked down at one of the stems. It was thicker than the rest, and fuzzier, and shaped strangely. I peered more closely and found the culprit, a fat green caterpillar. I was so mad, I think I actually yelled at the caterpillar. I said, "It was you! It was you the whole time!" And I picked him off the stem and I placed him outside. I didn't squish him, because I'm a Christian. I went back to look for more. All in all, there were almost 10 caterpillars. I think they're called cabbage loopers, but I won't relate here what I called them. On my herbs, one or two had actually spun chrysalises, which I somehow found even more insulting. They're not paying rent for the hotel. What makes this whole thing worse for me is this. A few months ago, we had a guided meditation where I encouraged you to channel your pain into a pebble. Remember that? We had a long silence. And I asked you to place your pebble back in a bowl and told you that I would plant things on top of them, so that the negative energy could be transmuted into something positive. These herbs were the ones I planted on top of the pebbles. And in a week, 1 week, a bunch of little worms almost destroyed them completely. But if you look closely, though, you'll notice that the herbs are not dead. They're close, but they still have little leaves on the top. They still have little buds all the way down. I don't have a bunch of dead plants. What I have is a process of rehabilitation waiting to happen. I find it interesting that in the reading from Genesis for today, after everything God creates, there's a phrase that gets repeated. So many steps, and after each one, do you remember what the text says? It says, "God saw that it was good." Yeah. The light and the dark, God sees that they're good before anything else is made. They are good in and of themselves. The land and the sea, God sees that they're good. Creation isn't done, but God takes a minute to appreciate what she has done before moving on. Now, this is really interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, whether you believe in this story as a literal account of how the world came to be or not, the hands and the hearts that were inspired by God to write about this thought it was important to keep that repetitive phrase, "God saw that it was good," in the text after each thing God made. It was vital, apparently, to note that God did not wait until the end to rejoice. God celebrated the small victories. It's also interesting because, let's take the story literally for just for a second, for the sake of argument, God could have made it all, the entire creation, in one fell swoop. Poof, a perfect planet. But he doesn't. The greatest work of art ever known was created step by step, in a process, each step building on the last. Now, I think I can save my herbs, our herbs. But it's going to be a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I'll have to water them, and I'll probably keep having to check for caterpillars I've missed. I'll have to fertilize them and strap them into the passenger seat of my car when I take them to our new house next week. I'll have to find them a good spot on our new porch and keep caring for them long into the future. But you know, the best way for me to fail would be for me to look at them today, the way they look right now, and go, "I picked off the caterpillars 3 days ago and they haven't recovered. I give up." You know what I'm doing instead? Every time I water them, I'm being glad that I happened to notice those pesky little caterpillars before they ate the buds, too. Each time there's a new leaf, I'll be happy. I will remember this community and how special it is and how its energy is going into these plants, and I'll be glad. I will celebrate each time I remember to fertilize these plants and prune them, and hopefully someday they'll be back to their old leafy selves. And you know what? Now I know about cabbage loopers. When I plant my first whole garden in the first home I've ever owned, I'll know I need to consider them. Now, sometimes we get a big dream in our hearts. We get a big goal. We want to start an organization, or we want to buy a house, or we want to get a new job. And often, the big dream we have is to change something about ourselves. Sometimes we're struggling with an addiction, or we want to learn to control our anger, or we want to get in the habit of exercising more. Now, the goal often seems far off, but you know how we get there? By making sure that each time we take a step, we take a minute to see that the step we just took, it's good. Because if we wait until we've attained our goal to be proud of ourselves, we'll never get there. Those big goals, those long journeys, we can't expect ourselves to subsist on constant self-reproach. I'm not there yet. Why aren't I there yet? I'll never get there. I know some people in here can relate, right? And that's too mean to ourselves. And we'll eventually give up. If I looked at my plants after getting rid of the caterpillars and thought, I screwed this up so bad, I should have taken them inside sooner, then for sure I'll never get them back. If every time I water them I think, they're still so scraggly, I must be doing something wrong, I'll eventually feel so bad that I'll quit. Each time God made something in the story from Genesis for today, he turned around, looked at his incomplete masterpiece, and said, yes, this part, this thing I just did, it's good. I'm pleased with it. It doesn't say she felt bad because it wasn't done yet, or that she was unsatisfied because there were no animals or stars or people yet. She saw that it was good, and then she did the next part. And we can do the same. Each time we take a step, we can look back at ourselves, even for just a second, and go, you know what? I'm not there yet, but I'm closer than I was. And that was good. This is how we help ourselves to get where God is leading us, by celebrating the little victories instead of berating ourselves for not having attained the big one yet. And there's another way to look at this. Those caterpillars did a lot of damage, and my picking them off was only the first step. Sometimes people do us a lot of damage. They eat our basil, and they leave their dirt all over our lives. And when we finally figure it out, we can take steps to remove them. But then we have to be patient while our leaves grow back. It doesn't help us to think about how many leaves we've lost or how much greener we used to be or what a jerk that caterpillar was. It especially won't help us to berate ourselves for not having all our leaves back immediately now that those caterpillars are gone. We have to be patient. Tend to ourselves and celebrate each time we see a new bud, knowing that because the caterpillars are gone, we'll get to see that bud unfold into a brand new leaf. This congregation has a long history, like over 100 years. And for some of it, the membership was much higher than it is today. This is hard for some of us. And others of us think that there's just the right amount of folks in here on Sunday mornings. But my point is that we went through something painful recently when we lost Blair. We had to acknowledge that in this time and place, we needed to change the way we operate. We noticed that we had lost some of our leaves and that we needed to relocate some cabbage loopers. I know that some of us feel like barren stems and we're frustrated. We feel like the process of self-examination and reforming is too long and maybe it's pointless and we're burnt out. But I want to take a minute to look back at what we have done so far and say, it is good. We successfully transitioned to a new temporary pastor. We're all still here. We have had so many iterations of New Beginnings meetings, from the initial one where the representative from the conference came to the house meetings to the three times the New Beginnings leaders have met in the last 2 months. that I have literally lost count of how many meetings we've had, and nobody likes meetings. Let's just be honest, it's okay. We like each other, but meetings are tough. And there was a huge time commitment. It was stressful. And it required a lot from all of us. We've gone on field trips to other churches. We've had hard conversations. We've had talkbacks. And I don't know if we've ever done that before, but I don't think so. Now, we may not be there yet, but we need to acknowledge something today. We need to look back at what we have done, the steps we have taken, and say, it is good. And it may be that where we end up doesn't look like where we started. We may not be heading for another leafy basil bush. We may end up as butterflies, fed by the basil as caterpillars and reborn into a new creation. It might look different, but each step along the way should be celebrated. Now, as we do our talk back today, I would invite you to consider, is there anything that you have heard or done, anything that you have noticed, any little victory that we want to celebrate today?